you know.
So the second case
is David.
The difference between the second case and the first case is what again?
Small differences in Norman Dowdy's case. The officer, he started to blow, and the officer said something to him about, you know, don't worry if numbers show up. In that case, David Dowdy had said, I want to call an attorney. Norman had also, but the officers just said, you don't need to. And then, according to David Dowdy, the officer said, well, that's a refusal.
Were they driving separate cars? I mean, how does this, these two cases come up at this?
The Dowdys had a family. The Dowdys had a family wedding in Vernon County, like around noon. And so after the wedding and after the reception, a bunch of the family members went back to the hotel where most of the people were staying, and they, you know, just visited with one another. And roughly around 10 minutes before they were arrested, Norman takes off in his car and starts heading home. David takes off in his car and is heading home. And in, you know, Vernon County, if you're driving after dark, that's probable cause to pull you over, and they, you know.
So it wasn't like a crime wave of DUIs from the Dowdys, okay.
Pardon me?
It wasn't like a crime wave.
No, no. They just happened to be the only two cars out on the street after dark.
And they weren't even back-to-back. They were going two different streets.
Two different streets, two different directions. You know, but
lightning couldn't have happened, strike twice.
Doesn't that kind of get to the questions I was anyway? So, for example, somebody asked for an attorney. I believe Judge Tidelman wrote a case that says if they asked for one, they got 20 minutes to get one, no matter when they asked one, before, during, or after.
Yes.
And so if that's the case, and then this evidence comes in, that's the type of thing where you could say, well, I object. There's no foundation. Judge, those records don't show that the person who asked for the lawyer got his 20 minutes. Therefore, you can't consider the refusal.
Right. And both these cases, Dowdy's had requested an attorney, and we covered that. If you look at the testimony, we put that evidence in, and if you look at my argument and said, hey, look, they, you know, requested this, and these, you know, shouldn't be doing, you know, because the officer didn't show up to testify, that they should, this shouldn't have happened.
But that's not an issue
before us. But my concern is, though, did you say, I object based upon the foundational requirement that they didn't, you know, it's just like the maintenance records. I mean, if there's something in there that you don't think the judge is supposed to consider, right, you make an objection so the judge can figure out, oh, this is what this case is about.
Right.
It's about the maintenance records weren't there, or they didn't get their lawyer, or the machine wasn't working. I mean, that's kind of the rules of the game, so the trial judge knows what he's supposed to focus on.
Yes, but that was my whole point, is this isn't a fair trial. This violates the fundamental fairness, is that, you know, these guys, you know, have completely different stories than the police officers. And you look at the cross-examination from Mr. Ewing. And he said, are you telling the court that the officers are lying? And I think David Dowdy said, yeah. You know, and that's what we said. These guys need to be here to be cross-examined, because the fact testimony on a fact witness is exactly what Goldberger, Kelly, and the other cases out of this state say. Is, you know, when it's a fact witness, you get to cross-examine them, because things are to come in different than a cold, stale report.
Right. And if you object, lack of foundation, they didn't get to talk to their lawyer, the state has the burden to prove that they did. Right? Regardless of whether you cross-examine or not.
But isn't that covered by due process?
But you're saying the report said that there was 20 minutes that passed after they asked? The report misstated that?
No. In fact, my belief is the reports never mention that they asked to speak to an attorney. And that was the whole point of these cases, is that my clients were both saying, that cop is lying. And that's why those reports should not have come in without them being subject to cross-examination. At least we could have asked the questions. You know, if I had asked those officers, isn't it true they asked to call an attorney at some point in time or thing? And they said, oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, I understand that.
We have different case.
Okay. Just like that isn't in the record. You know, the problem is, you know, we have to decide these cases on the record. And I understand the issue you're getting at. But if you had merely objected, Your Honor, I object to the admission of that evidence. There's no foundation been laid that my client's statutory right to counsel was honored. And then everything stops right there.
But I did make that argument at the end of the trial
after it's already in the evidence?
Right.
Well, I mean, then why isn't that objection?
Listen, after it's already in the evidence.
No,
after
when he offers into evidence these reports.
Right.
And you're sitting there thinking, well, they didn't get
they were right. Not already admitted into evidence. If you look at the record, right. You'll see that Judge Quitno said, okay, I'm going to conditionally admit it. you get me information about the due process argument.
Right. Okay.
And then, so then when he gets the thing, and it wasn't, so then he entered a decision that, okay, no, too bad, you lose.
Okay. So then back to my question, though. If your issue was they didn't get their, if what we're really trying to get to is they didn't get their right to speak to their attorney, then why couldn't you simply have said, I object based upon the foundation, the admission of these exhibits, my client's statutory right to counsel has not been satisfied.
It wasn't just that, Your Honor.
Well, I understand there might be other things. You might say the maintenance records weren't there, he didn't have probable cause. I understand there might be a whole bunch of reasons why these things might be. What I don't understand is why you think you get to wait to the end and decide why these exhibits can't be considered.
Didn't your client get on the stand and say the officer lied?
Yes.
So that was,
I asked for counsel and he didn't give them to me and he didn't
yes.
give me.
So that's before the judge is who is going to believe the records or your live witness.
Right, and that's the problem. That's the due process problem, is that the judge is free to believe or disbelieve any witness. So he could just disbelieve my client when my client says, oh, that he lied, I had this, that kind of stuff. And then we get caught in that trap. But if the cop shows up and testifies and I say, isn't it true that he asked to speak to the attorney? And the cop says, yes. Again, we have a completely different ballgame. And that's why it violates due process, is because we don't get a shot at making an undisputed record, these are the facts. Instead, we've got a cold, stale report that comes in, and then my client says, cops are lying, this is the way it went, and the judge says, well, I just don't believe you.
So in the proceeding against David, is it Dottie?
I'm not sure. It's Doty or Dowdy. I can't remember.
Did you make any different record there concerning challenging that he didn't honor the subpoena and the officer wasn't there?
No, Your Honor. The two cases are virtually identical. The only difference is that when Mr. Norman Dowdy was blowing the officer, and the difference with the police officer in his case has been fired. Those are the only two discrepancies that I can really tell. I mean, there's some slight discrepancies about the way the arrest occurred, but nothing else significant.
And again, there's nothing to show that, I mean, it's of concern to me that you didn't mention to the judge that you'd relied on the subpoena and the officer was not there.
Well, Your Honor, I felt like I had articulated due process, meaningful opportunity, meaningful manner to be heard, cross-examination, and, oh, by the way, the police officers have completely lied. These reports were wrong. We put all that evidence in. I explained that to the judge, and he said, I'm going to wait till I get your brief before I make a ruling.
And your brief did not argue, I relied on the subpoena. The brief argued, it's unconstitutional, let this in unless the state presents live testimony about it.
I felt like it did make the argument that it's unconstitutional unless he's subject to cross-examination because of these issues in the case. That's what I thought. I did not say I relied upon the subpoena. I didn't think that was necessary because the court's the one that ordered him to be there, and the Heat Court did not discharge them.
But as Judge Fisher pointed out, if you had made that argument, the court may not have sent a body attachment out. You've said the courts usually deal with that in another way, which normally would be a continuance. So we don't know what the court would have done if you had made that argument.
That's correct.
Anything else you'd like to offer?
No.
And now the state has a chance to...
The good news is I've only reserved 5 minutes. But I did want to hit on just a few quick things quickly. If there was an issue about the foundation being established, I just want to make sure it's clear. There might have been an argument about some foundation about whether, but it wasn't like the director's records failed to establish that, you know, the foundations that were required. And if that were true, then that would be the issue on appeal. That would be an easy issue on appeal for the driver. He would have raised the foundation to admit this evidence wasn't proper, and, you know, we wouldn't be making, you know, the complicated constitutional issue. Number two, I did want to point out the driver keeps going back to Goldberg, and Goldberg does say that, you know, you have a right to cross-examine and confront in a civil case, and the director has never contested that. The issue is, what does that opportunity mean, the opportunity to cross-examine and confront? And the cases that we've cited in the brief all tend to say that in the context of a civil case, that typically the opportunity for, you know, for a party to be able to subpoena that witness themselves and have that subpoena enforced, and there's no indication in this case.
Well, that shifts the burden. The burden usually is you have to make your case by a preponderance of the evidence in a civil case, which means still more than 50%.
It doesn't necessarily
The burden's there, and if that was the case, if you had the burden to present your witness, then they could cross-examine. That's usually, as opposed to shifting and say, well, we presented documents, now you have to, now it's up to you to subpoena the witness if you question it.
The burden of proof and the burden of production is still on the director. It remains on the director. The only difference is that the director is allowed to meet that, to introduce hearsay. And if the court finds that evidence persuasive compared to the driver's evidence, then a judgment against the driver can stand on that. But as far as the burden of persuasion, the burden of proof itself, it
but
doesn't
the,
shift.
But the ability to submit hearsay abrogates the ability to confront a witness, because hearsay, by its definition, is not the direct witness of the of whatever event you're.
Well, even in a criminal case, you know, the state doesn't have to put a witness on the stand in order to introduce hearsay. All they have to do in a criminal case is make that witness available. Like, for instance, if a child is in the courtroom, then their hearsay testimony in a child abuse case, for instance, can be introduced. They don't actually have to put the witness
there
on the stand.
But the Strickland, I assume there's a Crawford. I mean, you have a criminal case. You, generally speaking, hearsay is not admissible.
It is admissible. It's admissible as long as the defendant has, even in a criminal case, as long as the defendant has the opportunity to cross-examine the witness. And in a criminal case, that opportunity is defined as the witness is present in the courtroom. And
right.
The defendant could call them themselves and cross-examine them.
Right.
If the defendant chooses not to call the witness to cross-examine them, then it doesn't matter. The Crawford and the Confrontation Clause under the Sixth Amendment is still satisfied. The civil cases that have said, to the extent that you have a right to cross-examine and confront a witness in a civil case, that is satisfied if you're given an opportunity to subpoena them to court.
Not all hearsay is admissible, just because you have a right to cross-examine.
I'm sorry.
You were making a general statement that all hearsay was admissible as long as you got to cross-examine.
Well, I shouldn't say admissible. It doesn't violate the Confrontation Clause.
The point is, in this case, you were at risk if the trial judge believed the live testimony over the reports.
That's
in other words, in this case, on this record, if the trial judge had ruled for the driver, you wouldn't have any grounds to complain.
Right, and there have been cases where the director has been criticized for relying on that and has lost cases because the driver wasn't.
Strategically, maybe a defense point that maybe they don't want, maybe they want their witness there uncontradicted to say, I did ask for an attorney and they wouldn't give it to me, and your side doesn't have a live witness.
Or conceivably, there could be deficiencies in the report that they don't want the witness there to fix. They might, the officer might remember things that didn't make it into the report that might help establish a foundation or prove otherwise.
So it's self-authenticating. You have no one there to say, this is the report and this is how we keep these reports. But it's just, you just submit the report and that's it.
That's what the statute permits, yes. Real quickly, just two more things I wanted to address. The driver suggested that he's entitled to equal process, that due process means equal process, that they have to be the same for both sides, and he cited no case to support that. I did want to point out that Judge Fischer suggested that he might be able to admit the evidence. If for some reason the reports were deficient, the director didn't want to call the officer, they might call a third person, a third party, to establish that he was driving drunk. And then the driver would have the opportunity under the statute to admit the records, if he so chooses. And lastly, Judge Russell, you had asked about, if I could have just one more moment, you had asked about differences in the record. In David's case, I address him by his first name, obviously not out of disrespect, but just for clarity, the court actually asked the counsel if he had subpoenaed the officer, and he admitted that he had not, and he stated, my objection is not that he's unavailable, it's that his testimony is coming in without cross-examination. So that's what it comes. He didn't take that opportunity to say, I was relying on, I didn't subpoena him, and in fact, I was relying on the state subpoena. And that would have been an opportunity for him to make that argument. So unless the court has any further questions, we would just ask that the
thank you very much.
Trial court be affirmed.
Very well. Do you want to rebut?
No, I'm good. Unless you have any questions, I think I've gotten everything out that I wanted
to
get in.
Thank you both. We appreciate your efforts.